Okay, your mics are not on unless you push the button and see the green light, and then you'll be live. So the meeting is called to order. Welcome back, everyone. I hope everybody had a good week. We will just jump right in here because I know we've got some folks that have been invited to provide us with feedback. So first item on our agenda is to approve the minutes, and I need to insert a correction to add Carrie Grace's name. She was in attendance at the meeting, and she's from our legal department, and her name is not noted on the minutes, but I'll insert that and ask for a motion to approve the minutes. Jan Lehman moves, Perla seconds. Did y'all see how I did that? I called out the name this time. Jan made the motion and Perla seconded the motion. All those in favor of accepting the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So let's see. The next item on our agenda is invited public comment. And so we've got four guests that are here today with us. We've got from the Austin Firefighters Association, Bob Nix, from the Asian American Employee Network, Lee Yee, Reverend Daryl Horton, and from the Austin Hispanic and Latino Network, we have Darling Berkheimer. So we'll start with Bob. I didn't see him though. Is he here yet? Okay. How about Lee, are you here?
Darlene is here.
All right, Darlene. You win. And while you're coming up to the podium, I'll just contextualize what it is that we're doing in this section of the meeting. So at each of our Human Resources Department and Public Information Office have done a wonderful job of reaching out to the affinity groups that interact with the city day in, day out, and in some cases are city employee groups themselves. And so at each of our agendas, we will, from here forward, we'll have both invited testimony from these groups as well as open public hearings for anybody else in the city that is interested in weighing in on the city manager process. And I just want to thank both Human Resources and the Public Information Office on doing a beautiful job of getting the word out. I don't know if your neighbors have begun contacting you on Nextdoor or Facebook, but mine have. The flyer that we looked at earlier in this week went to over 200 stakeholder groups that the city interfaces with on a day-in, day-out basis, as well as about 150,000 individual citizens who access city information through Nextdoor and other venues like that. So the word is definitely out. There was an editorial that Sandra and I penned in today's paper.
Good job.
And thank you. And there have been numerous articles and papers all across town. So the word is getting out. And with that, Darlene, the way that we'll do this is we ask that you keep your comments to under 10 minutes if you can, and then there may be questions or we'll move on.
Mine's real short.
Welcome.
Thank you. Again, my name is Darlene Berkheimer. I am the chair for the Austin Hispanic Latino Network, which is an affinity group with the city of Austin. I'm speaking on behalf of Christy Zamalipa. She was not able to be here today. So, in looking at your questions, I think that the first person has to have a fundamental understanding and experience of governmental processes at the local, state, and federal level and related education. I think this person should have an appreciation for a community with established set of values for environmental sustainability, cultural experiences and diversity, and community engagement. Strong skills in written and oral communication, analytical, and a quick thinker, adaptable to changing environments, and a collaborator. A value for city employees and the skills that they bring to their work every day. I think some of the challenges would be housing for low income and entry level employment, education for early childhood and primary levels in our community, creating a value for our own children to have the educational success to live and work here, to address the loss of institutional knowledge in our community, and the workforce, to create an internal pipeline of new leaders branching toward positions within the organization, to be able to implement a plan of knowledge transfer in order to survive the loss of older generational employees. And finally, someone who has a sense of humor, an affinity for people engagement at all levels, all different opinions, and an openness to learn from the community.
Yes. Jan, do you have a question? And then Sonia.
Darlene, do you have that? Is my mic on?
No. Okay. Hi, thank you so much for that. That was so concise and well-formed. Do you have that in written form that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jan.
And that was my question.
One more.
You're
am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was my question. This is being recorded, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so as far as we don't have to take notes, and we'll have access to looking at that or hearing that again, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could I ask you just what's the size, or could you tell me about the what your organization's made of?
So our organization is an affinity group for the Hispanic and Latino population for the city of Austin.
Right.
So our workforce, I think, is about 32% Hispanic, and our organization is about 100 individuals that are active,
right.
But we're open to all employees throughout the organization. We do several different cultural and professional development events throughout the year. We concentrate in bringing cultural knowledge to our employees, Hispanic and others. We also try to do public engagement within the Hispanic community of our. So those are some of the things
Thank
that
you.
We do.
Thank you.
What's her last name?
Oops. Berkheimer. Darlene Berkheimer. Any other questions for Darlene? Thank you so much for coming. All right, now I see him, Bob Nix, representing the Austin Firefighters Association. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank task force members. Appreciate you guys allowing us to come in and speak, and thank you for your service. This is a very important decision you guys are making, and I appreciate the input. And my input will be fairly brief. It's what we're looking for is really pretty simple on face value. We're looking for somebody who is labor friendly and fair. And I'm going to go into a little detail what I mean by that. Because that's everybody wants that, right? You know, there's this notion that labor associations are very powerful, and there might be places in the nation where that's true, but Texas isn't one of those, and Austin, Texas isn't one of those. We have to make our case with the policymakers for anything that occurs. We don't have any particular leverage or power. In fact, in negotiations, they're all trumped a lot of times. There's talk about how the labor union can do this or that. We really do not have a lot of tools to leverage things. And so what we're looking for is a fair environment, an environment where people consider our input, our facts, our figures, and weigh it fairly. And then take it to the policymakers on both sides, and ultimately they make the decisions. We don't. And we accept that role, and we think it's very appropriate. In the past, I believe we've had a city manager that was not quite that fair to labor. My first meeting with Mr. Ott, I don't want to just dump on it, but I think it provides a good contrast to what I'm talking about. I had a meeting where we assembled a very diverse workforce to do a nationwide search on best hiring practices. And it was a breakfast meeting, first time I've ever met City Manager Ott. And he pulled me aside. He said he's used to dealing with big labor unions. He's not going to take any crap from us. And that was the first meeting I ever met him. And that seemed to set the tone for a lot of things that went on from that point forward. And I could provide other examples. All I'm saying is that approach is not very conducive to the values I believe the city tries to share. Basically, we should make our best case to our policymakers. We should make our best case to the city manager for what we want to do or not do. And we just want it to be weighed in fairly. And in the ultimate end, we will accept the policymakers' decisions. But having that person with the ability to look at those things fairly is extremely important. I'll give one more example, not to do with City Manager Ott, but with disciplinary practice in general. The Civil Service Act, which we're under the Civil Service Act, it's a law that's voted in by the citizens of Austin, is reestablished when we got collective bargaining in around 2004, I think. Laura might remember that better than me.
Mm-hmm.
But it contemplates that even good employees will make mistakes at times. And unless it's not a major violation, there should be a 15-day punishment or less. And there seems to be this continual notion that the chief can, or the chiefs can violate that and go beyond the 15 days by telling them they're going to terminate you or they'll give you this special deal. And that's, I think that's outside the spirit of what the civil service law contemplates. And I think that that wouldn't be happening if we had a city manager that was concerned with that, the spirit of that law, and made sure it was upheld. It's very appropriate we discipline people when they're not acting correctly. It's very inappropriate when we over-discipline people for political reasons, and it becomes a very big morale booster, buster. So again, as funny as it may seem to y'all, the disposition and the attitude and the approach of the city manager is extremely important in our labor environment. You know, you're in the fire department and the police, I think you'll find that labor is, you know better than I, 95% of the cost, something like the very high number of cost. Well, the practices of the chief and the city manager have a lot to do with the attitudes of what I really think are very fine men and women that serve. But I've seen policies that I can't defend, and that harms the psyche of the workers greatly, and it's really a shame. I have a son in the fire service right now, just got in a year ago. Very proud of him. When I was starting the fire service, I loved to drive. I loved to drive the fire truck. It was the best, you know. I wanted to get my training so I could drive the fire truck. My son served in Afghanistan. He was shot at every day. He charged machine gun nests. He's a very brave person. He told me that he came home. He said, "This is the first shift he's ever driven." I said, "How'd it go?" You know, I expect him to tell me how fun it was. He goes, "I never want to drive because we have policies. I'll be disciplined if I hit a curb." He goes, "I don't ever want to drive. I'm afraid of driving." My son is not ashamed or not afraid to charge a live machine gun nest in Afghanistan. He's afraid of driving because he doesn't want to get punished. I think that's a very good narrative of what bad disciplinary practices can do to the workforce. And so again, I don't mean to illustrate these to really harm anybody in particular. I just want to explain the environment. They do matter. And I think the attitude of the city manager being fair to labor and labor friendly is very appropriate. We also understand the city manager has to abide by what the council wants them to do policy-wise, and we certainly accept that. But when you have a fair environment, it allows all parties to come forward with their information, have it weighed out fairly, and hopefully the best decisions can be made. And that's really all we're looking for, and I really believe that's probably what this group is looking for too. I do appreciate your time, and I'd be happy to stand for any questions if there are any.
Any questions for Bob?
I just have a comment. I live off of Slaughter and South First, and your fire station on Ralph Oplinado is in my backyard, and the men and women that work there have done so many favors for us, and they are wonderful. I just wanted to extend my thank yous to someone who might be able to pass that on to you.
I very much appreciate that, and that's the reason why I do what I do. I'm very proud to serve the men and women of the Austin Fire Department. They're just really exceptional people. Thank you.
And again, what's the size of the association?
The size of the association, because we're short on firefighters right now, we are just shy of, I think, 1050, somewhere around there.
Okay, thank you.
But we have a very, very, if the question really is the percentage of members that are members of the association, it's over 97%.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
appreciate
to see you.
The time.
Thank you. From the Asian American Employee Network, Lei Yi. And you might just provide a little bit of a description of the association, and then
absolutely,
that way Jan can we'll save her question.
Yes.
That was a good question.
I saw the trend, yes.
Could I just give a little bit of context here?
We,
I'm sorry, I was distracted and I didn't introduce what I was supposed to do, which was to say essentially each of the invited speakers has 10 minutes and how much we appreciate you all coming. So we look forward to everything you have to say. Thank you. It's been going great so far. And if you have your comments written, we would appreciate getting them as well, if you've organized them in that way. Thank
absolutely
you.
Absolutely. Yes, okay, definitely. Yeah, I'll try to stick within the time limit, and I can send in a copy, a soft copy of what I prepared for today.
Well, the others have gone so well, so
excellent.
If you need a little extra time, just listen.
All right, thank you. All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lei Yi. I'm a City of Austin employee and the past chair of Asian American Employee Network. For those of you who are not very familiar with our organization, I would like to start off with a brief introduction of AEN, our history, and our mission. On March 17, 1994, the City Council passed a resolution unanimously supporting the creation of Asian American Employee Network, AAEN. The intent of the resolution was to improve the city's working environment by promoting communication and mutual understanding among all City of Austin employees. And we believe City Manager plays a vital role in this in that regard. And for the next 23 years, our organization, after the resolution was passed and AEN was created, our organization has been a strong advocate for all Asian American employees working in the city. We've made some significant progress in the past 23 years. AEN was a founding member for the Asian American Resource Center, which was opened its door back in 2013. And that very same year, it became the most utilized city facility in the entire City of Austin Park and Rec Department. And the service provided there really benefited all of our citizens, regardless ethnicity and cultural backgrounds. And in the past decade, we've seen greater Austin area, we've seen a steady growth in the Asian American population. And AAEN has been playing a critical role in helping to recruit talents from Asian American communities to work in the public service sector. Despite all the progresses we've made, there are a number of challenges in diversity at the City of Austin that we're still confronted with today. And a number of them, the last federal census put the Asian American population in the Austin area to close to 7%. However, in the City of Austin, Asian American represents about 3.6% in the total workforce. And that percentage is even lower at the manager and executive levels. So the AEN, we have been working with the Asian American Quality of Life as well as our city HR staff, conducting research on the causes that prevented more highly educated, highly qualified individuals from joining the public service at the City of Austin. And we look forward to working with the next city manager to address the fundings out of our research and take actions to make sure we have the most qualified people to serve this great city. We would like to see the task force to select the candidates who have demonstrated past success working with Asian American communities and have successfully led a truly diverse workforce. In this century, we've seen trade and commerce shift more and more towards Asian Pacific Rim region. In order to keep an Austin economy going strong into the future, we need a leader who knows how to attract investments from Asia and who has international vision for what this great city should be in the future. And Asian American communities, we are, and also AAEN, we are a resource available and also gateways to that part of the world. And the next city manager should be someone with a proven track record of engaging Asian American communities. I would like to close out by thanking all the task force members for your great service, helping to find the most suitable candidate who can lead this great city that we all call home and have a great, that can bring the city to a new great height. The next city manager shouldn't just accept diversity as a fact. He or she should celebrate diversity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I have a question. Yes. Are the Asian Pacificers a part of your organization from India and the other?
Yes. Yeah. When we talk about Asia, it's a geographically, it's a huge region. 34 countries, including all of South Asia, you know, India, Pakistan, all the way to Iran. Not a lot of people know that Iran is actually an Asian country, and also include all the Pacific Islanders, you know, Hawaiian, Polynesians. Yes. Mm-hmm. And every year we host a Asian American Heritage Celebration event just across the street in the Palmer Event Center. It's open to all the city employees. In the past few years, we've had support from the council and the city managers. This year, city council actually took a break in their executive session, and so all the members could come to our event. So really appreciate the support from the city council and looking forward to working with the next city manager, you know, to continue our past success and anything else we can do to help.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reverend Daryl Horton is on our agenda next. Welcome.
Well, good afternoon to the chair and vice chair and to this commission and task force. My name is Daryl Horton, and I am here speaking today as a private citizen, but I do want to acknowledge and make aware that I do currently serve as the chair of the African American Resource Advisory Commission for the City of Austin. And so it is an honor and a privilege to come and to speak with each of you today. As we're looking at how to put together a profile for the next city manager for the great city of Austin, there are numerous concerns that I'm sure you're going to hear today that people want you to pay attention to and to acknowledge. But just a few of the things that I think are important for us to make sure that we look for in the next candidate for the city manager's office is that we want to find someone who does have lots of documented and shown business experience, someone who can work with different corporations, different type of industries to bring to Austin to continue to diversify what we have. All of us are aware that Austin is a great semiconductor industry place, but there's also lots of music, there's also lots of arts and culture. And so we need someone who's going to have a vision and have a mindset to make sure to bring and to continue to have that excitement in Austin to make sure that there are different types of industries available to the people who live here, but also make sure that there's a focus and a mindset on making sure that the people who are already residents of Austin are already able to be employed. We know that Austin has an influx of individuals who come here on a daily basis, who come because reports and magazines say that this is the most desirable place to live. But I think the city manager is going to have a focus and emphasis on making sure that this place is desirable for those who are already here. And so I think that individual will have to be conscious to the fact that there are residents who are here who are not able to have the opportunity to have a piece of the prosperity that our newcomers are having. So we hope that this individual does have the expertise and the demonstrated knowledge to work with businesses to make sure that the current residents are also included in that prosperity, but also make sure that plans are developed to help our young people and to invest in the future of our city. I think it's wonderful right now to have persons who have already graduated, people who have masters and doctorates, to make sure they have wonderful degrees, but Austin is going to be in big trouble in a few years if we don't invest in the young people who are in our city right now. So we need somebody who is going to look forward, be innovative, be visionary, and determine how bringing in these new companies and corporations can help to invite and include our young people in the prosperity of our city. I also believe it's going to be important that this individual understands the complexities of what makes Austin work. Austin is a great city. I'm a native of Austin. I think it's the most wonderful city in the world because we have such a diverse group of things that happen in the city. We know that as the capital city of the state of Texas, that there are government issues that have to take place here. We know that there are issues with all of the universities and colleges that are here. We know that we are developing a larger healthcare district here in the city of Austin. We have wonderful nonprofits. We have organizations and we have companies. We have arts and creative arts that impact this entire planet. And so my hope is that we look for someone who understands exactly what they're walking into when they come to Austin, that they have a city that actually and literally impacts the entire world. And so I'm hoping that they have a mindset that they can come in and understand the complexity of what we have. But also I hope that individual can come to Austin and not be so awestruck that they are in Austin, that they are able to understand what work still needs to be done. I personally think it's wonderful that we're on the top 10 list of every major magazine and everybody wants to come to Austin to live here. But I think the city manager is going to have a task of making sure we stay in that place. And so I'm hoping that that individual can come in and recognize what makes Austin be Austin. I know that we have the term that Austin is weird, but keeping it weird, I hope that we can keep Austin successful and keep Austin prosperous. And so I hope that they will also look at that. My hope is also that the next city manager can understand what it means to optimize the social equity that we have in this city, to understand that we have a lot of people in this city who are gifted and talented, who can pour into making Austin a better place to live. And so this individual is going to have to look and seek out those individuals who can help add to Austin and to continue to make Austin the place that all of us want it to be, which is a wonderful place for us to live. The city manager is also going to have to be conscientious about the issues that we have and face the reality of what happens in Austin. I love Austin, but Austin is not a perfect city. Austin still has race relation issues. We still have issues in public safety. We still have traffic issues, in case nobody noticed that. We also have all types of issues that are going around the city, and I believe this individual is going to have a mindset to be able to be willing to step in, to get their hands dirty, and to understand and try to find solutions for these issues that we have. It's wonderful that people keep coming to the city, but we have to have innovative traffic solutions. We have to have some solutions that are going to be visionary so that the Eastern Crescent of the city of Austin does not continue to be ignored, does not continue to be left behind in the advancements of what takes place in the city. And I believe the city manager is going to play a key role in that development. And then lastly, I would even suggest to us that the city manager is going to have to be compassionate to all the employees of the city of Austin. We have had issues and we've heard of concerns about all members of City of Austin employees do not feel valued, that all the members of the City of Austin do not feel as if they are important. And so I think a critical role for the city manager is going to make sure that every employee feels valued, every employee feels that their voice is heard, every one of them feels that the City of Austin values the work that they provide and what they bring to the City of Austin. And so it's a huge task that you have in front of you, and I applaud you for being willing to take on this task, but I do hope that you will seriously consider all the input that is given, and also understand that we're looking for an individual that it may sound like they have to be perfect. But I do know that Austin is a wonderful place, and that I hope that we take seriously this challenge and this task that we have before us. And so there are a lot of issues that have to be resolved, a lot of issues that need to be taken into consideration. But again, I applaud you for taking on this challenge, and I thank you for the opportunity to share my insight for the person that we should be looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Of course, everything is all-encompassing, and you've really shared quite a bit. And if appropriate or not appropriate, but I would like to know, and you're probably not representing the church, the complete body, but I'm just curious how the church, if there is any comments for the church.
I would probably say personally, as a clergy member in a church, I think the city manager will have to be an individual who is responsive to the faith community, regardless of what the faith tradition is. The church plays a key role in the city of Austin in helping to make sure that the city is a place that is livable, a place that is respectful to all who enter here. And I do think that it would be great for this individual to have respect for all faith communities and be willing to meet with and to collaborate with the faith community, because I know that the city of Austin cannot do everything. And so there's only limited money, there's limited resources, but I do believe that there is an emerging faith community here in the city of Austin that is willing and ready to help do whatever we can to make the city great and to be a wonderful place. And so I hope that that individual is willing to work with the faith community in the city.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, it concludes our invited testimony. We will have additional invited testimony at our next public hearing. We've got General Citizens Communication sign up, and we've got three folks that have signed up. Dana Blanton, welcome. So for this section of the meeting, we're asking that you keep your comments to 3 minutes.
And may I suggest something that I usually suggest when we have public hearings and public meetings where we're going to have people speak? Make sure you, because 3 minutes goes by really quickly, and this is to all of you who might want to speak. 3 minutes goes by so fast, it's gone before you know it. So present us with the ideas that you have that are the most important to you to get over to us, so that just in case your time runs out, you have been able to get over what was important. Thank you.
Okay. It's possible I should have spoken in the first group as Citizens Communications, because I'm not addressing the questions directly. In fact, what I have to say has more to do with policing, but is indirectly related, as I understand it, to the city manager.
Okay.
My name is Dana Blanton. I've lived in Austin for over 30 years. Thank you for the opportunity to express my views on the city manager hiring process. My main interest in testifying is to weigh in on the hiring of a new police chief, which I understand will be one of the first tasks for the new city manager. I belong to a group of citizens called Central Austin People Power, We came together this spring because we were alarmed about the way federal immigration authorities were operating in Austin. We spent the next few months reaching out to local law enforcement to try and find out where they stand in relation to federal authorities such as ICE and CBP. We had a very good meeting with the interim chief, Brian Manley, who took a lot of time to address all our issues and to explain Austin Police Department policies to us. All the discussions we had were very enlightening and made me realize that there are not any simple solutions in policing matters. The passage of SB 4 has only complicated it further. That being said, I would like to see Austin hire a police chief who will step up and work with the local community to protect neighborhoods rather than facilitate the agenda of federal immigration authorities. Spreading fear among Austin residents makes our city more dangerous because it hampers the free exchange of information between residents and APD. It makes it harder for APD to do its real job of combating crime. Most federal immigration cases are not criminal, but civil in nature, and to devote scarce resources to what is essentially a federal problem is a bad idea. The goal of local law enforcement should be to make the community safer. Focusing on immigration status issues won't accomplish that, and it unfairly targets immigrants and people of color. Austin strives to be an inclusive community, and I would rather see APD use resources to train police to interact with the diverse groups that make up our city. I'd rather that APD focus on diffusing potentially dangerous situations and create an environment where it's possible for all residents to coexist and to thrive. Again, thank you for the opportunity to share my opinions.
Any questions for Ms. Blanton?
I have a question. Ms. Blanton, I know you spoke primarily to, you know, the hiring of a police chief, but would you say that some of these same concerns apply to what you would like to see in a city manager? I mean, somebody who has these
Absolutely.
Qualities?
Yes, I think it overlaps a lot, and definitely I would like to see, as other speakers have said, someone who sees that Austin is a city that's just made up of so many diverse groups that bring so much to the community, and I'd like to see someone who really values and respects that, and okay. You know, sees Austin for that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Chair.
Yes.
Ms. Blanton,
uh-huh.
you tell us you talked to Acting Chief Manley, and I presume you laid out your position. How did he respond to it?
He was very, very positive, and he and like I said, the process was also educating ourselves,
yeah.
And that was he was very helpful with that, and he explained where it was necessary to cooperate amongst police departments, but also where he could, you know, where all the intersections of what we would like to have seen, which is stepping back from being federal enforcers. I felt very positive about the interaction we had with him and about the direction he seemed to be going with the police department.
My suspicion is that any really competent police professional who is interested in being police chief would answer the questions very much the same way, and the vast majority of APD personnel see it your way and understand your position and value it.
And I think that's one thing too, is that there's not as much difference between the way
right.
police
yes.
departments and law enforcement agencies see this as people want you to think.
I agree. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I think Sammy Easterday. Welcome.
Thank you. And I have handouts for you all. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I, like you, I'm a citizen volunteer. You ask when we present to you three areas: skills, personal characteristics, and challenges. In the skills area, we need someone with evidence-based leadership in enhancing the city's character by judicious recommendations to council regarding predatory development, including teardowns, gentrifications, and other deleterious actions to older, predominantly poor neighborhoods. We need evidence-based actions that demonstrate equity. We need evidence-based experience recommending to city governments citizen well-vetted courses of action that directly impact citizens. We need, this person needs the ability to listen and honor all citizens and staff and treat all fairly. This person needs the ability to initiate and oversee and hold accountable and insist on transparency all city departments. The ability to determine measurable outcomes that create and sustain staff work as excellence in services to citizens. The ability to create staff and oversee an independent department of neighborhoods. The ability to demonstrate the role of all city staff in recommending as opposed to setting policy, which is a current actions in several departments. Personal characteristics, a person needs to have a sense of service to constituents and a clear identification of who they are. Person needs a sense of humor. Person needs a sense of history, of time, and respect for established places and practices while being open to innovation that does not harm blocks of citizens. A sense of and a guiding principle of equity among all staff and citizens. A sense of place as a person with power who understands we're really all members of the human race and all more or less working for the same and similar goals. A sense of embracing our city is just not another notch on his or her resume, but an enduring relationship. Challenges that I see, first of all, are to immediately hold on actions of and rapid dissolution of all of Code Next, and accurate and verifiable data regarding future growth, and not some of the stuff I've seen that is not verifiable. Immediate initiation, it's on the back now, immediate initiation of plans to deal with department issues noted above. And after the first 3 to 6 months, a generalized mega plans, recommendations to council, and status report on identified issues needing attention. The use of the 40,000-foot look at our city over time for the next 10 years, citing needs. Really planning beyond 5 years, I'm told by experts, is iffy. Rather than projections by some that cars will be obsolete, most citizens will ride bicycles, mass transit is a panacea for all transportation issues. I have one more sentence. Can I finish it?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I didn't know who had the timer. Thank you. Any plans need to remember that environmental concerns are always one of the fundamental issues on initiating change, along with working and updated infrastructures and respect for community. For that is what a city is, a community made up of many small communities intersecting and remaining autonomous at the same time. What we are not is an Austin commodity to be carved up by some. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a comment, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Ma'am, you had me on evidence basis and particularly on the sense of humor, but you lost me on that first of those challenges, not because I'm against necessarily rapid dissolution of all of Code Next, but I think it would be inappropriate for us or for the city council to insist on a particular course of action for the next city manager before he or she has had a chance to talk with the staff, talk to other people, and get a sense for what it is that needs to be done.
I appreciate your difference of opinion, and thank you.
Okay, well, I just wanted to let you know that I think so. There may be others of us who feel the same way I do. I think it's a very difficult position to put a city manager in and say, here are our requirements.
It is extremely difficult. He's got budget or she has got budget and hiring department heads and so on. Got the Zucca report to deal with.
Yeah.
There's a lot of challenges, but I've tried to wade through this 1,100-page document, and it's a real challenge. And I've got a graduate degree, so it's not like I can't read.
I feel your pain. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, Susan, did you have a comment or question?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to thank you for this very encompassing list. As a member, I've been struggling with my own responses and what I think we need to see, and I just really appreciate some guidance from you on how to proceed with talking to my constituents in my district. So
This is what I thank you guys for laying out what you ask us to present to you to think about. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up is Daniel Lames?
Yanis.
Oh, I didn't see the other L. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you so much. And hi to those of you that I know on this panel, and hello to those of you that I will get to know. I'm Daniel Yanis, and I am a citizen here in Austin. I am involved in a variety of organizing activist kinds of things. I thank you all for your time. I want to say to you that I want to speak specifically about equity. And the point at which Austin finds itself today. Today, it is undeniable that Austin has had a legacy of a racist and classist past. Mark Ott was the first person, the first city official, to actually take that head on and turn it around, along with Mayor Adler. Steve Adler, but he was doing this beforehand. So I just want to let you all know that I'm part of Undoing Racism Austin Network. We've been around for about 6 or 7 years. Broad network, black, white, brown, blue, and green, everybody in this town who wants to turn that legacy around. And so I say to you that we met with Mark Ott 2 years ago, and he immediately embraced the idea of bringing the Undoing Racism trainings is done by the People's Institute in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so we because of his willingness to work with us, we started that, or the city has now started that. It's in the HR department right now. We had our first one last year, 44 people, half executives. We're starting from the top, and the city manager invited his executive staff. This coming September, we're having the second one. We are hoping that this becomes instituted. So I want you all to know, I know that you can't directly say or do anything, but as this process goes along, I want you to know there are many people inside of the city of Austin bureaucracy and out in the community who want to make sure that this happens. We had the tremendous help of our city manager, and we now have the help of our mayor, and so then I'm hoping that continues. So, having said that, the next city manager must be accessible and involved in communicating with the grassroots, with the community, not just with big business, not just with government, not just with the Chamber of Commerce, but engaged with the everyday person. I'm a neighborhood person. I'm a chair of my neighborhood association. I also sit on the executive committee of Austin Neighborhoods Council. So neighborhood preservation and protection is very important. For example, when the city manager and the police chief understand that you can't take resources from South by Southwest and leave our neighborhoods naked, that is a problem. So we need a city manager who will understand that. The last thing I will say is that I hope that you pick a local person, someone from within our community, not somebody from Washington or New York or New Jersey or anywhere else. I'm tired of our city bringing officials from other places who do not know the environmental, the cultural, and the political environment. And I can tell you that I, as an individual, would like to see the acting city manager become the new city manager if she's willing. I have no idea. I'm not here to advocate for her. I only thought of this off the top of my head. But I think that she would be a great person. And she's from here. She's been here for a long time. She has good standing inside of the bureaucracy and out in the community, I will tell you. So local is very important. Thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Mm-hmm.
Any questions? All right. Thank you for coming. That is, I don't have any other folks signed up to speak. Is anybody else wishing to speak? All right. Well, then we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is new business. We've got two items under new business. The first is discussion and possible action regarding the city manager recruitment process, updates on district meetings, public meetings, website to solicit community input, and utilizing 311 to survey the public. I don't know that there's anything new to report here other than to tell you all that everything is up and running. The website is up if you've tested your hot links. I mentioned earlier that the flyer that the Public Information Office and HR put together has reached nearly 150,000 people by now. They've contacted over 200 stakeholder groups that routinely do business with the City of Austin, so hopefully we'll see more public participation. Those of you that engage with your community through Nextdoor, I know that those networks are up and running because I've been getting emails from my neighbors. So all of that is underway. It's only been a few days since we last met, so I won't go through and find out where each of you are on your district input process, but presumably you're in the process of either organizing a meeting or some other mechanism to collect feedback and input from the 10 city council districts. Is there anything that we should touch on, Susan?
I just have a question. Is the city, I know that the they sometimes do post across Nextdoor widely. Is the city posting on Nextdoor also?
It is. Yes. The editorial that appeared in today's paper, or was it the editorial or the flyer? I can't remember which. Both of them actually are on Nextdoor right now. So there's a copy of the flyer, and then Sandra Kirk and I penned an editorial, which is really just a repetition of the work plan, and that has also been posted on Nextdoor.
I hadn't seen it on my Nextdoor yet.
It was on mine. Okay. I don't know if they're on.
It was on mine also.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll check. Thanks.
Just two more things just to update the group that we are working on creating email addresses for the task force, and we'll have that available to you so that when you go out to your district meetings, if you want to have an ability for the community to reach you individually, we'll have an email address available for you, and we'll get those to you as soon as they're available. Should be no later than Monday. And then also the web, I'm sorry.
So is that a city email address?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And it will be based in Outlook, and so if there's anyone who's not familiar with Outlook who needs to know how to put it on their phone or tablet or computers, when we provide that to you, if you'll let us know, then we'll make sure that you get the information you need to be able to access your email appropriately.
Go ahead.
We're preparing a missive to go out on our boards, and we had to do a Spanish language one. I've used my personal email address. Should I hold off on sending that out and wait to get that
email? I don't think there's a requirement to use the city email address. I think there was a request for a city email address.
Right. That's what I was getting ready to say. So even if you use a personal email, it's subject to the Public Information Act. And so if you use a city email, it's a little bit easier for us to manage requests through the public information request process. And so if you can, that would be very helpful.
So hold off.
I would if you can.
Okay,
yes,
if you can get it by Monday, because we're hoping to get that out this weekend. Yeah. If Monday is the date, I can.
Yeah, I'm trying to get those today, but I rather under promise and over deliver. So.
I know. Okay, great.
Okay.
So my meeting is Monday night, mm-hmm. 6:30. But if it still goes to the email that you're creating, that's the city email, will we see it the same way everybody else does?
Yes, each of you will have your own personal email, so you'll be able to access it.
It'll come to us. Yes. Also, my question is, you had any time to assimilate some of the responses back?
Okay.
It just goes to everybody at the same time, right?
No.
My point is, maybe I'm not making my question clear.
Okay.
Who all does our city, our email go to read? The
only
ones
you.
Setting up?
Only you.
Okay.
It's not a group.
It's not a group email. It's
Thank
one
you.
For
I'm
each
sorry,
of you. That's okay.
Yeah. Right.
And so if anyone wants to email the group, they will have to email you each individually.
Or work through HR.
Right.
We've been getting draft agendas and things like that, mm-hmm. the human resources. Sonia can send it to the full task force.
Yeah, it'd be great if I could get that before 5:30 Monday.
Oh, definitely. You'll definitely
Monday
have
night.
It before then. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And then the other thing was the survey on the website. We noticed this morning that when you go to access a survey, I noticed that it seems like it's a little bit hidden, and so I've called our public information officer working on that so that it's more readily viewable from the homepage where you land so that people will know where to go. They don't have to search for that survey.
Okay. Wonderful.
And I believe everything is up and running. Laura's here with 311, so everything's moving forward. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Probably another good update. Well, Aaron, can you give us an update on the survey? We discussed at length on Monday what the Russell Reynolds survey would look like and who all would be receiving it. And I think what we settled on was we agreed that the survey would go to senior managers, which is defined as the level just below assistant director, director, and above. And you all are designing the cover letter, and that's going to go out pretty quick here, right?
Absolutely. We are in the process of finalizing the cover letter now, and we will be seeing that out early next week once we have email addresses.
Okay, and that'll go to how many city employees?
I believe about 861. plus or minus. So it's a good, it's a great sample.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from task force members or announcements regarding the process? Yes, Claudia.
Can you share with our citizens? I've heard about selecting the city manager. Can you share what our process is as liaisons to the communities? And just in general, going forward with the different tiers of what we're doing?
So the way that the task force work plan is laid out is there are four basic elements. Well, let me start by describing overall the process that the city council is using to select its next city manager. It's got three basic phases. Phase one is led by this task force, which was appointed by the city manager, to design and execute a public-facing process, including professional city staff, to develop a profile for the next city manager. So that's what you have become a part of by coming out today. And what we have done is we've approved a work plan.
Appointed by council.
We have approved a work plan, and the city council has also approved our work plan. So the way that we are carrying out our duty is to conduct a series of public meetings, of which this is one. We had another one on Monday, and there will be two more. There's a calendar of public meetings. Then each task force member is working with their council office to design either a meeting in the district or some method to collect feedback from each of the 10 city council districts. So there will be 10 district processes, a combination of meetings and feedback mechanisms. We have also worked with the city staff to design a web page for people that don't have the ability to come to one of those public meetings, either the district meeting or one of these meetings. You can get on the web page, and as Debbie just described, I've tested it last night on the airplane. There's a hot link, and it will lead you through the questions that we have designed to solicit feedback. If you can't come to a public meeting or you don't have access to the internet, you can also call 311, and there will be lots of language choices. I can't remember what you told me, Laura. Any language. So we can facilitate any language that people want to use in that 311 conversation. And then the last piece is, you just heard us talking about, we've designed a very structured way to reach into the workforce itself. Two primary methods there. One is a survey that Russell Reynolds is going to send to the senior manager team at the city. And the other one, which you saw a piece of today, which is we've reached out to all of the affinity groups that are organized within the city staff to ask them to come provide invited testimony. So it's the goal is for this task force to provide very deep and broad feedback from the community to the city council. That's phase one. Phase two will be led by Russell Reynolds, and they will take that information from the profile. By the way, our process will culminate in a written recommendation to the city council. They'll accept that recommendation. Russell Reynolds will take that and develop the profile and conduct their professional search, which will include both formal and informal methods. People will throw their hat in the ring, but Russell Reynolds will also contact individuals that they feel meet or exceed the qualifications that we are putting together. They will develop a candidate pool, and then the third phase will begin. And that third phase will be the process that the city council uses to take that candidate pool and narrow it. And we've been struggling with language a little bit, but in order to get some consistency with how we talk about this phase, I'm going to make a little bit of a proposal to you all, and that is that the last two or three candidates, I think the terminology that Russell Reynolds would use is finalist, but there's been some confusion about what's a semifinalist and a finalist, and so we thought maybe we should just refer to that small group as the shortlist. And that'll be the two or three candidates that the city council really wants to dig into to have detailed interviews. So the city council will then select a city manager. So that's the three phases. And this first phase is outward facing, the second phase is recruitment, and the third phase is narrowing and selecting the city manager.
So to kind of go into a little bit more of a detail about the roles that we play as task force members in doing this out-facing part of it, each one of us has, you know, of course, we're committed to attending the hearings that we hold as a task force so that we can all hear from the general public at large and also from any affinity groups or any other stakeholder groups. So we appreciate your attendance at these public hearings. The one that you do back for your district is going to be something that you collaborate with your council member that appointed you. That person's staff member will work with you to decide on where that is, and most of you have already put that piece together. But the staff will do the logistics, and hopefully the task force member will do the facilitation. In other words, you will invite the public. You will kind of play the role that Laura has played today in terms of hosting the meeting or whatever information gathering mechanism you come up with. You become the host for that, and you invite the people to give that testimony and that that input and make sure that it is recorded. So that's going to be an arrangement, a collaborative arrangement between you and that council member's staff. Mm-hmm. Does that help in any way?
Yes, Susan. Yes.
That's where I needed some clarity on, mm-hmm. is as we get this feedback, do we accumulate it, or are we providing Russell Reynolds the entire list of all of the responses we've received?
No, on Monday, you may recall, we had a discussion about how you all would pull that together, and we agreed that you would synthesize the feedback. So what we'll be looking for is the feedback organized around the questions and organized in themes versus just a download of 100% of the feedback. Mm-hmm. And we even agreed on the due date for that, which...
Right.
July the 5th. So we were asking that whatever mechanism you use to collect that feedback, yeah. that you've got it, that you've synthesized that and provided it to... Is my 3 minutes up? And provided it to Human Resources so that when we have our meeting where we're discussing the profile, they've got that in hand.
Okay, so... To just we would kind of consolidate, like,
looking for the
most
big
of the
things.
People agree this, mm-hmm. and a few people think this. Is that I'm just not real clear on.
Well, looking for the big elements and looking for places where you have a lot of commonality, maybe some consensus. But that's not to say that you don't include outliers and things, yeah. where, you know, because there might be somebody that has a totally different perspective. So it's not necessarily that. There has to be agreement on everything that's in there, but we are looking for common themes. And even within a common theme, you might have different perspectives on that. And so I think you have to use your own awareness of our culture and climate here in Austin to determine, you know, how you want to reference that and have that included. But we want to be as inclusive as possible, but to bring it to some kind of organized summary of what took place.
Thank you.
Any other questions about the process? I want to make one quick comment. In the a number that has been pretty widely published in some of the stories that have been written has to do with the vacancy rate at the senior levels of the staff, and I want to clarify it, the correct statistic, should you be asked, is that, and I'm looking right at HR, 31% of director level and above positions are either interim or acting. Correct, Joya? There is, now that is not, senior managers, which is the group that we're surveying, is defined as, you know, the level just below assistant mm-hmm. director, assistant director, and director. But the 31%, am I right on that?
Yes, that's the, we're moving away from the percentage.
Okay.
Only because that gets a little confusing, because as people step up to act, there are others acting yeah. for them. So what we've done is provided you, there are 21 vacant executive positions, and I'll pass all this out. No need to try to write it down. Of these 21, 12 are department head level. Of the 12, 10 are interim assignments where the interim name is already an executive. So that kind of okay. nuance makes it complicated to use percentages. So what I've done is just laid out who's vacant, who's covering them, color-coded it so you'll know who's already executive. So if there are any questions relative to this, it would be easier for you to identify this in terms of numbers of people versus trying to equate that to a percentage, if that works for you, Madam Chair.
That's perfect.
So we'll
Thank
pass
you.
This out so everybody can have those statistics.
Great. Any questions about that?
One brief one. Would it be appropriate to say a lot of directors are on an interim basis?
Yes, sir. You could say.
I'll say that.
Larger percentage, yes, sir.
Me too.
Bigly.
Percentage or number, they're going to. That's going to open Pandora's box.
Right.
Yeah. And I think we could end up in a situation where we couldn't keep up with the detail. So exactly. I would rather not.
Okay. It is a moving target, but it's also in print. So I wanted to clarify. And I suspect that the media will want more clarity on that because I think you all have already gotten some
I've already received 3 open records requests on it, so we're responding to those with CPIO. And if that comes to you, please reach out to us and we'll take care of that for you.
Okay. Shawnee, you had a question?
How many departments in a city now? How many departments?
I'll have to get the appropriate number because I don't want to throw that out. I think I like 27, 26, but I actually don't know that off the top of my head. But I can get it for you in the next 10 minutes and can come back to the mic and share that with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Jan, did you have a question?
No, I just think, you know, I know for myself, Monday night, I think it's, like Bill said, I think it's best for us. If somebody wants to in the audience, you know, ask us something so specific like that, I think it's really clear that we just say what our role is, and that we can direct that, you know, with the city of Austin.
Absolutely.
And not try to get ourselves into a box.
Absolutely. In fact, in your materials from Monday, we provided you with a sample script for that meeting, and we put explicitly in that script, if you're asked a question that you don't know the answer to, then just refer that individual to staff, and in particular, if it's a question from the media, I would say, if you can't answer it accurately, pass it along. You already found it?
No, I'm going to send it to you, and I just need to explain our complexity is that we have offices, we've got departments that's just a little difficult, so I'm going to make sure I get the right number and send it out to everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Should we be answering questions of the media if asked?
I would say that would depend on your level of comfort with it.
Okay.
If you're not comfortable with that, I think probably, Laura, you would want media requests to come through you all. And they are right now coming through you all. Yeah. The Public Information Office is doing a wonderful job of filtering through all this. So I think it might be a good norm for us to send requests their way. And then they can figure out who best to answer the question.
I think just in terms of us hosting the sessions, I think our role is going to be predominantly as listeners and capturing information rather than answering, you know, fairly detailed questions about the city's infrastructure or how it's, you know, what the issues are. So we're looking for concerns, for big issues, that kind of thing, and recommendations.
I will answer the question. There are 55 offices and departments collectively at the city of Austin.
Lots, as Bill would say. Jan, did you have a question?
I just think it's how you start your meeting off. And you just say, this is our role, and we're not here to, you know, do A, B, C, D. So, you know, you just set it up to set the tone for it.
Yeah, you were here to listen.
And I don't think you'll have a problem with it.
All right. Okay, are we ready to move on to the second item under new business? This is a continuation of our discussion on Monday. And so that folks in the audience know what we're going to be talking about next. This is a continued discussion on a recommendation of the task force's role beyond phase one of the city manager recruitment process. So you've heard me describe the three phases. Phase one is the phase that we're responsible for, and that's creating and executing the outward-facing feedback to develop a profile for the next city manager. What I'm going to do, since Sandra led that discussion on Monday, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. The discussion tended to be whether or not we as a task force wanted to offer our services to the city council and the mayor to extend our role beyond phase one. And if so, what that role might look like in the final phase. So the conversation, just to kind of collapse it into a summary, was whether or not we wanted to have conversational interviews with the short list of candidates in order to ensure that there was credible match between our profile and those candidates, the qualifications of that short list of candidates. So that was the discussion. There was a motion that was tabled to come back to this meeting and continue the discussion and see whether or not we had a consensus that we could build around how we wanted to do this. So I'm open to hearing from anybody who has an input.
I'd like to go. I think that the process has been set up, and by hiring an executive search firm, I think we should allow them to do their job, for that's one thing. I don't think we should do something in place of their job. You know, if the language, if I could offer up, I don't know how important it is for us to have to be a part of the actual in-person interview process as much with the candidates as it is. I would like to see who they're presenting, the resumes of who they're presenting or want to present to the city council before they do, and to get our input. Just even that step would be, I think, helpful, is to, if we kind of interpret, you know, their Russell Reynolds' response to that resume and why they want to move them forward. I don't know, unless everybody around this room is really experienced at interviewing people at that level, I don't know how much more value we can add to Russell Reynolds if we interview them.
Let me add,
because I don't think that's our role.
Let me add a reflection from Monday, and Aaron, you might want to jump in here. Steve Newton, who's leading this recruitment for Russell Reynolds, he did make the comment that I think he actually thought it would be quite appropriate for this group not to interview from the standpoint that we would rank or recommend a candidate, but more of a conversation, as Sandra indicated, and mostly just to determine whether or not the candidates are matching up to the profile that's been created. So just for clarification, I don't think that Russell Reynolds saw that as at all interfering with their process or supplanting their work.
Not at all. If anything, it just enhances the process all around. So we're still moving along and proceeding, but it gives everyone here a chance to also see what we're doing and provide some feedback that way, and having more of a conversation as opposed to an interview.
And I want to reiterate that this is very different. This level of input is very different from screening. Russell Reynolds will be doing the recruitment and the screening. And
right.
So
yes.
Anybody who gets through this process is going to be a decent match, you know, or could possibly be a successful candidate. Our role would have more to do with creating kind of a final transparent aspect of the process that would just say, yeah, the task force started this, and here was the profile, here's what we heard from the public, and these last short list of people that Russell Reynolds is taking to council, we confirm that there's a lot of credibility to our process, that this end result matches what we had set out as a profile based on what we heard from the public. So
Walter.
That's kind of the intent.
Yeah, I just wanted a further clarification for me. I know that the city council invited us to make this recommendation, but when we do that process, are we expected to winnow down the list?
No, I don't think that that's the intent. I think the intent, a short list, let's assume, would be 2 to 3 candidates. And I think that Russell Reynolds would, and we've got our own questions, right? We'll have our own feedback in the profile from which we could design a couple of questions. And then I think the way that Steve described it to me is it would be, you know, probably a 1 hour long conversation, and we would provide feedback. But
yes.
I think that they would strongly prefer we not do a ranking.
That was my understanding as well, too. It's just one more way to round out this process as a whole.
Yes, Susan.
As a stakeholder, and I'm being so honored to be here and be part of this team, I would welcome the opportunity, because before 10-1, I never felt like I had a voice in talking to the city, and now I do through my council member. And just on behalf of my neighborhood, I would love that opportunity to be able to visit and kind of convey our concerns, where we're coming from, because my part of town has totally different values than another part of town, and it's considered by the city a whole lot differently than other parts of town is. So I would welcome the opportunity.
other feedback or comments?
I guess my question, do you have to go back to the council, ask the council to have the ability to provide input on the final stage?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Do we have to go back to the council?
We do. We do. Right now, I should say that. Right, the way that it stands right now is that when we submit our final recommendation to the city council, this task force dissolves.
The profile.
Yeah. And so that at the end of phase one, as it stands right now. So what would need to happen today, if there is a motion and we pass, then it's a recommendation to the city council. It'll go to the city council and they can either accept or not accept that recommendation. And then there's some logistics that staff is going to have to think through, whether in terms of how the meeting happens. But I don't think we need to worry about that at this point. So, yes, it will take explicit action on the part of city council.
But it sounds like from what you all said that that's something they've already expressed interest in.
I don't know that they have discussed that as a group. We've heard individuals express that. Yeah.
I have a question. And this is part of the process, but do we know if those last interviews with the short list, if those would be public or closed? I mean, do we envision... because I think it would, I mean, hopefully that there will be some opportunity for the public to also, you know, see and meet or hear what the candidates have to say. I know, for example, with the Central Health, when we were hiring our CEO, we narrowed it down to, you know, two candidates. And then we did kind of public... We had two public meetings, one for each candidate, and we kind of did an interview and asked them questions that the community had submitted or some that we had also created. And just it was an opportunity to just see, you know, how they do in the public and how they respond and how the public responded to them. And it was just, you know, it was a really nice touch, I thought. And that's just... something to consider whether or not we decide to go with this or not, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Is someone here from legal? Yeah. Could you speak to that? Because it had been my understanding that at that point it was a very confidential process.
At the interview point?
Yes.
Yeah, as Ms. Huffman just stated, I think you guys are limited to, at this point in the process of creating that profile, there's no approval for anything beyond that. I believe the interviews would be conducted confidentially. I think there's been discussion on how that may be done in terms of opportunities for town halls. Council has discussed all those options, but there's nothing for this task force to do at this point.
And even at that level, when we're down to that short list of 2 to 3, it's you envision... we envision that it would be closed.
I don't know that council has actually discussed what they're going to do with the final part.
Okay.
The resolution for, as stated, your part stopped at phase one.
All right.
So I don't think they've even really discussed how they're going to do the final interview.
Well, that's just, I mean, just a suggestion to keep in mind, you know, if we do decide to move forward with being involved with mm-hmm. some interview process, which I hope we do. I would personally like to be that if there's an opportunity to make them public and just, you know, see how the engagement is or response from the community. I think it's an opportunity to learn more about the candidate.
Thank you. Erin, do you have any comments around this?
From a search standpoint, we would like to keep this as confidential as possible, as we've discussed during council meetings before. But we understand the importance of community feedback and having that within this whole process. So as we work through our future logistics with phase two and phase three, this is something that we can raise at that time. But we have to always maintain that level of confidentiality to attract the best candidates possible for this role, whether they're internal or external at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, I guess we're open for a motion.
Well, I will make my motion again I'm making my motion as an offer to council to extend the services of the task force to conduct conversational interviews with the short list of candidates in order to confirm that they are aligned with the profile and to give credibility to the transparency of the process.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Julio. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right. We have a recommendation moving forward to the City Council. That concludes the business of this meeting. Are there any future agenda items that you all would like to see? And hopefully I can find the calendar and tell you when our next meeting is. June 28th. So we will convene again on Wednesday, June 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. We'll be back at the City Council chambers, and then we'll meet again on we'll have our fourth public meeting and public hearing on Saturday, July 8th. That'll be lots of fun from 1 to 3, also at the City Council chambers. Yes, that'll be both of those next two meetings. We'll have public hearings with invited testimony. Is there any agenda item that you'd like to see other than we'll keep a standing agenda item to talk about the task for these meetings, your district meetings, and the survey and the other mechanisms that we put in place to collect input? But anything else you'd like to see on the agenda? Yes, sir.
Madam Chair. If possible, it might be useful to formally request some samples of profiles from other communities that have gone through this process, just so I know what we're writing towards. And we had a bit of a discussion about this. I don't know if it's necessary to discuss it in our sessions, but I think it might be useful for the task force to see kind of what the final document has looked like in the past.
Got to turn that on. We are more than happy to provide that with other searches we've done that are relatable, and we can even provide somewhat of a template so you can see how we're looking to structure this one.
Excellent.
As well.
Excellent.
So, thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Madam Chair,
yes, Bill.
If I could follow on to Julio's comment, if you should not feel constrained that these be public sector jobs that we're taking a look at knowledge, skills, abilities, and so on for.
Absolutely. We can look at both the specs. You can see how they all work together and everything else.
Task Force Member Inman would insist on it. He's not here, so I'm insisting on his behalf, and I'd like to see it too.
And on Steve Newton's behalf, we're happy to provide that.
Excellent. Thank
you. Excellent. Thank you. Any other comments or requests from the recruiters? Yes, ma'am.
You guys have a comment for you. Just one more. I just wanted to remind everyone that we have been able to put the recordings of the meetings on the website. So if you feel like you missed a note or didn't hear everything, or if in the future you may have to not be able to attend a meeting, you can go to the website and listen to the meetings. And that's for anyone. That's open to the public. So if you have any questions about what happened, people can go there and listen to them also.
Excellent. Thank you, Debbie. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Second. Okay, so the motion was from Perla. The second was from Susan. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.